all over the world. There's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea, all over the world, the Spirit of the Lord is moving. All over the world, as the prophets said it should be. All over the world, there's a mighty revelation of the glory of the Lord. As the waters cover the sea.
Joshua chapter 11 again, we read yesterday, verse 13. But as for the cities that stood still in their strength, Israel burned none of them, save Hazor only, that did Joshua burn. Speaking on strength, true stillness and focus. Strength, true stillness and focus. A major secret of strength. Now, objective is to understand the strength of stillness and focus. A major secret of strength is stillness that is accompanied by focus. When I talk about stillness, I am talking about noiselessness, rescue from unnecessary busyness or restlessness. Noiselessness. You can make news without making noise. And rescue from unnecessary busyness and restlessness. Stillness. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 7. He said, for the Egyptians shall help in vain, and to no purpose. Therefore have I cried concerning this. Their strength is to sit still. There is strength in stillness. There is strength in focus. Their strength is to sit still. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 15. He said, for thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. In quietness, in confidence shall be your strength. In rest, in focus shall be your strength. And Isaiah 41 and in verse 1. Isaiah 41 and in verse 1. Keep silence before me, O lands, islands, and let the people renew their strength. Ensure stillness. Ensure focus. So you can renew your strength. The Bible is filled with examples and situations where focus and stillness brought strength. Example number one, the Tower of Babel. In Genesis chapter 11 and in verse 6, the Bible said, the people is one. They are focused on something. And they have all one language, one focus. And this they begin to do. And now, nothing will be restrained from them
which they have imagined to do. They are focused. They are target specific. So nothing became impossible for them. Example number two, Abraham's journey to Canaan. In Genesis chapter 12 and in verse 5, there was a focus that Abraham had. Abraham took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran, and they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan they came. He maintained the focus on Canaan. And nothing would, he allowed nothing to stop him until he arrived Canaan. He went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan he came. Genesis chapter 11 verse 31 to 32. His father didn't do that. His father could not face where he was going, and he died. And Terah took Abraham his son, and Lot the son of Haran his son's son, and Sarai his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from the all the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan. And they came into unto Haran and dwelt there. He was going to Canaan, but he allowed himself to be distracted off where he was going. He dwelt in Haran, and in Haran he died. Where focus is lost, destruction begins. In Haran he died. There's a proverb in our place that says, what took you to the house of the blacksmith must be defined. If you went to the house of the blacksmith, whatever took you there must be defined. Whatever took you into ministry must be defined. What you are out for must be defined. My niece, my senior sister's daughter, she was giving an account of how she saw me at the beginning of the ministry, saw me literally when she actually came to just then when I was leaving just for Abuja for the call. And she said when she saw me, she said my face was like a flint, a no-nonsense flint out there. Maybe we listen to one of the clips one of these days. Abraham's journey, he went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan he came. Third example, the Jericho march around the wall of Jericho. There was focus plus quietness. In Joshua chapter 6 and in verse 10, Joshua chapter 6 and in verse 10, and Joshua commanded the people saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth until the day I bid you to shout. Then you shall shout. Concentrate your energy for now. Don't lose energy through talkativeness. And then in verse 20, he said, and the people shouted when they blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and the people shouted with a great shout, that the wall fell down flat, so that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They focused on the task. March wall, Jericho wall, 6 days daily, and then on the seventh day, seven times in the day. And don't talk to nobody until I ask you to talk. And then they spoke and the wall crashed. There are many ministers of the gospel. It is not a problem they have with potential, but problem with focus. Energy divided and scattered. It's not a problem of potential. It's not even a problem with the anointing, but a problem with focus, concentration, and target specificity. Elisha's pursuit of Elijah is our example number four. In 2 Kings chapter 2 and in verse 1. And it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And Elijah said unto Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said unto him, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. So they went down to Bethel. Keep going. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said unto him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I'll not leave thee. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. Now, this was a man that was focused on something. And here we had people around that were trying to take his focus. But he followed his master. And when he arrived at the end of the journey, the master asked him, what do you want from me? And he was not confused at all. A double portion of the spirit that is upon you. He followed and pursued with focus. And that strength of focus imparted on him a double portion of the mantle. I announce to somebody today, the focus that brought you here shall drop upon you a mantle that you have never seen before. You believe? Shout the loudest, amen. Example number 5. Elisha's instruction to Gehazi when he was going to raise the son of the Shunammite woman. Focus. Quietness. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 29. 2 Kings chapter 4 verse 29. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute you, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. That was an instruction that was meant to deliver power to raise a dead child. Unfortunately, the vessel carrying the power discharged the power from the rod by his hand. But the instruction was clear. Don't let anybody say, greet no man by the way. At the beginning of our ministry, we told our pastors and ministers, if some of you remember, that you have not been sent into the city as a public relation officer. You remember that? You have not been sent into the city as a public relation officer, moving from place to place, fraternizing aimlessly. Go face the work. Give the work no rest until the work gives you rest. Give it all it takes until it gives you all it contains. You remember that? Because there are those who just come aimlessly and say, oh, Pastor, how are you? I just came to greet you. How is life? How is ministry? What is happening? Is there any news in town? Moving up and down aimlessly. Greet no man by the way. And if any greet you. Now, when you begin to function with brutal focus, you will be accused of pride. That will be a major accusation. My father and the Lord passed through that and is passing through that. And you will be, I say, he's too big. He doesn't talk to anybody. He doesn't relate with anybody. It is not pride. It is a brutality of focus that is meant to deliver your assignment with dignity. He doesn't come for some meetings. Oh, no. It's not pride. It's not pride. Greet no man, by the way. And if they greet you, answer them. That was too brutal. But if you thought Elisha was too brutal, Jesus gave the same instruction to his disciples in Luke chapter 10. Take your seat. The master's instructions to the 70s. Luke chapter 10, verse 1 to 2 and verse 4. To verse 6. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, And he sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. Therefore said he unto them, the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Move to verse 4. Carry neither purse nor scrip. That is, don't struggle with resources by yourself, nor shoes. And salute no man by the way. Into whatsoever house you enter, first say peace be to this house. And if the son of peace be there, your peace shall rest upon it. If not, it shall turn to you again. That was a kind of brutal focus. Quietness. That they went into the ministry and the servant returned with joy. Say, unclean spirits went out in your name. Very important. And of course, finally, the focus of Paul the Apostle. Apart from Jesus in the New Testament, there is no other ministry as impactful that was as impactful as that is as impactful, because Paul is still impacting us till tomorrow. In Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 10, if you read all the way, I might go all the way to 15, 16. You say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I have already attained or already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ. The meaning is, I want to catch why God caught me. I want to catch the reason why God caught me. I want to catch it. He said, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, one thing, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Brethren, let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Somebody say aloud, amen. Lift your right hand and say, Father, I receive the grace for focus and quietness. Hallelujah. Not every time my wife greets me in the morning, she expects a reply, and she understands. And when is she not to expect a reply? When I have not finished talking with God, and she understands. Not every time you greet me on my way to the altar that I will answer you. Good morning, Daddy. Or good morning, sir. It appeared to me as if any slight talk will leak some spiritual force. Leakage. Most crossover nights many, many years ago, I will go from 25th December to 31st, waiting on the Lord. And the first thing I want to speak is when I handle the microphone. Alone. For 7 days, Israel was warned not to talk. They walk, say nothing. Say nothing. That was a fasting of talk. You know, there are people, it is easier for them to fast from food than to fast from talk. Especially in these days of social media. The phone, the text, the message, some of the worst devils of some people. Look at the sunlight that you see up there. You will never hear that the sun was too hot in Los Angeles or in Las Vegas and it burned down a house. No matter how hot the sun has been, it has not burnt anything. But all you need to do is to carry a magnifying glass in a forest and concentrate and focus the rays on a dry log of wood. You set a forest on fire by the power of focus. Do you want to set your generation on fire? Focus. Scattered energy is bankruptcy of impact. Do you want to set your generation on fire? There is a dimension of focus you need. There is a dimension of quietness you need. Let us go. Let's look quickly at the power of focus. What power is in focus and stillness? What strength is in there? Number one is the power of concentrated energy and effort. The power of concentrated energy and effort. Focus concentrates the energy of a man. It concentrates the effort of a man. That was the Jericho Wall mystery. In Joshua chapter 6 verse 20 where we read, is the power of concentrated energy, the power of concentrated effort. That is deliverance from distributed energy, deliverance from divided energy. Every focused man or woman is a terror to the kingdom of darkness. Terror. 3.5 years of focus for the life of and ministry of our Master Jesus gave results that the world has not recovered from. 3.5 years. Paul the Apostle, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I follow after. David. This one thing I do, forgetting the things behind. Paul, look at the lives of those people and look at the enormity of energy that they deployed into their generation. Show me a focused man who is quiet in spirit versus a noisy person who is everywhere, and the difference is clear. Say amen. Number two is the power of target-specific impact. When people are focused, target is unmissed. You don't miss targets. You go, you hit things, you hit targets, you hit them. The power of target-specific impact. That is impact without missing target. Before the Faith Tabernacle construction started, the date of the dedication was announced. And it didn't fail. Because of target, the target specificity of focus. Target specificity. Distracted people may miss a lot of goals, but not focused people. Many distracted people set goals that cannot be met because they don't have the level of focus that requires the meeting of targets. I believe that somebody is hearing something here today. It is the power of target specific impact. We saw that in the life of Paul the Apostle, Philippians chapter 3 and in verse 14 to verse 16. That is why the devil struggles for your focus. Because if he can get your focus, he can render you useless. What is the power of focus? It is the power of speed and acceleration. Speed and acceleration. Focus is the sponsor of speed. Show me a focused man, a focused woman, a focused ministry, a focused minister. I will show you a man who achieves more in 1 year than most people will accomplish in a lifetime. Focus. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 1 to 3. See, I will stand up on my I will stand up on my watch and set me up on a tower. I will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. He said, and the Lord answered me and said, write a vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that read it. That vision, that focus gives you speed. When focus is lost, speed is lost. Speed is arrested with the loss of focus. Ever seen somebody running Olympics and then somebody is greeting him from the stand and he comes out of the race and says thank you and all of that? He will never reach anywhere. If the devil wants to slow you down, he just breaks your focus. If the devil wants to frustrate your goals, he breaks your focus. If the devil want to destroy your impact, he breaks your focus. Everyone today who is a victim of broken focus, I declare that spell is broken right now. Somebody say a loud amen. Results are a product of routines. Success is a product of schedules. What is the power of focus? Number 4, it is the power of victory over the enemy. Victory is easy over the enemy when focus is sharp. What they call What do they call these people that shoot without, that shoot from the wall? Sniper. What they call a sniper is a one-man army. It's the army of a person. Some can waste 100 people in one spot by the power of target-specific shooting. Power over the enemy is possible with focus. The lion is trained to focus. So he pursues a thing without missing. Focus. In Genesis chapter 26, from verse 17 all the way to verse 22, when you see Isaac sold in the land, the Philistines will try to confront him. He will sow again. They will confront him, but he maintained focus. They digged in the valley and then they kept on striving with him, but he maintained his focus, maintained persistence. They digged another well. They strove with him. He maintained focus. He removed them. They digged another well until he wearied them out with his focus and persistence and came to Rehoboth. And he said, for now, the Lord has made room for us and we shall be fruitful in the land. In the name of Jesus, the last battle you lost shall be the last forever. If you are saying amen, say loud amen. If you are saying amen, say the Lord must amen. It is the power of victory over the enemy. Number 5. Is the power to surmount and uproot obstacles. Focus will make you surmount obstacles. Focus will make you uproot obstacles. What was an obstacle before? Ceases to be an obstacle now. True focus. What used to take us years, and this is in all humility, take us years to achieve, to see, is now a matter of 1 month. 1 month, 2 months.
You know, in a place like this, you have to be a bit careful what you say. A month. What used to take like 10 years. You surmount obstacles. That is the mystery of the Jericho wall. They surrounded it and it surrendered. What you surrender, you surround must surrender. You surround it with focus, it must surrender. Joshua 6:20. They surrounded it until it surrendered. You surmount obstacles. You uproot oppositions by maintaining brutal focus. When this church started, and for many years, it was from house to church, office, office back to house, house to church. It has not changed. Such that when I went into the city, I didn't know the city. Which one is this? When did this road come? I don't know about the... Many of us came from different countries. In this place, in this country, I don't think I've entered a banking hall once or twice in the last 20 years. I don't want anybody to get angry because there are those who must go. And maybe the system or the structure around them, I don't know. But if there are people who can do certain things, I don't need to do what someone else can do on my behalf. I am to do what no other person can do for me. What they have, you have to do it yourself. But you can go ahead with focus until you come to the point where you have people who can do it for you. Necessary thing is to just narrow your energy to what requires your attention strictly. Just focus or channel your energy. Channel your life's time, your life's resources, your life's time resources. Channel it to what requires only you to do. Channel it. Very soon I may begin to say some things that may be very tough and very annoying. But until instruction causes you some irritation, it may not bring you any transformation. If you only hear people who teach you what you like. No, many of us started following our father Papa Yedepo. Plenty. Bishop this one, that. Plenty of us. Plenty. After a while, people started fizzling off. Because the discipline was too tough. And Papa does not have diplomacy in his talk. We are a bit more gentle than him. He will tell you very raw. And so people disappeared. Where is this one? It's nowhere to be found. Where is this one? It's nowhere to be found. Out of plenty people following. Now see just a handful of people. And those who follow strictly. The difference is like light and day. Light and darkness. It's very clear. Those who are ready to pay the demands. Who will swallow the hard words. The hard pills. I said, is there any mother here who will pity the child enough not to give them the medication that will heal them? Will the cry of the baby stop you from giving the child the medication? It's as if you are tormenting the child. The child is crying, but you know you are not tormenting the child.
You know it's for the good of the child. So that the child can have rest and you can have rest.
Somebody say it loud, amen. What number are we? The power of focus is the power to surmount and uproot obstacles. Number six, the power of focus is the power to accomplish the inexplicable. Power to accomplish the inexplicable. Power to accomplish the impossible. The unfathomable power. Is power to bring about the non-existent. Power, the power of focus.
The Tower of Babel, he said, this they have begun to do, and nothing shall be restrained from them.
These people are so focused that what they imagine must emerge. Nothing shall be restrained from them.
When you come to this spiritual family tree, you see some of the mega
the giga things of life. You go to Daddy Gio, you see mega. Go to Papa Yerebo, go come. Just mega. Focus. The inexplicable, the impossible, the unfathomable, the previously non-existent. That is the power of focus. Power to see results that people are asking, how did it happen? It doesn't happen by being distracted. It doesn't happen by mind everywhere. It happens by the channeling of life's energy, time, resources, thought. Finally, the power, and that was Genesis 11:6, the power of focus. Is the power to reach your God-ordained destination. Where God wants you to reach, it takes focus to get there. If there is no focus in the beginning, there can be no destiny at the end. Your God-ordained destination starts. You kept moving. Abraham. In Genesis 12 and in verse 5, they went forth to go into the land of Canaan. And into the land of Canaan, they came. They went forth to go. You will reach your destination. Can somebody say aloud, amen? Can somebody say aloud, amen? Can somebody say aloud, amen? Can somebody shout the loudest amen? Let me say this as we begin to round off. One of the greatest battles of life and ministry is the battle of focus. It looks tiny. We have a battle in your finances, a battle this or that. Everything boils down to the battle of focus. The battle of facing what you are meant to face. The battle of doing what you are meant to do with your life. If you are having scarcity of finances, it is still your focus that is being fought. Because the same mind and thought you should have been using to plan the progress is the same mind and thought you are using to handle your debts and your bills. I preached many years ago on the battle of focus. And I want to enumerate 4 or 5 areas of the battle of focus. And once I am done, we'll stand up and pray. But one thing I believe today is that there will be victory in that battle. If you believe that, shout the loudest amen.
If you believe that, shout the loudest amen. If you believe that, shout the loudest amen.
Number one battle is the battle of concentration on one's primary assignment. The battle of concentration on one's primary assignment. In the course of your life, in the course of your journey, the devil will give you many alternatives to your primary assignment, your primary call, your primary goal, your primary focus. In Songs of Solomon chapter 1 and in verse 5, he said, I am black. Verse 6. Look not upon me because I am black. Because the sun has looked upon me. My mother's children are angry with me. They made me the keeper of vineyards, but my own vineyard have I not kept. I am black. Astonishment has taken hold of me. Because I have a vineyard to keep that I left. And they made me keeper of other vineyards. So I became black. You lose your color if you don't face your calling. There are many people who lost color. Their ministry, their assignment should have been more colorful than it is. But they lost the color because they are not focused on their calling. Are you an evangelist? Face it squarely. Go on evangelistic crusades. Face it. Are you a pastor? Face it squarely. Are you a teacher? Teach with depth and insight. Let it touch lives and change destinies. Are you a prophet? Prophesy not to look for money from people's pockets, but to bring healing and deliverance and exhortation and edification and liberation and enlarge the kingdom. Are you an apostle? Break the ground. Do whatever dimension of the apostolic that God wants you to do. Am I communicating at all? What is your calling? It determines your color. I said I'm going to say something that may annoy people. I don't understand why your calling is a pastor. And you are not in your base on Sunday morning. It beats the imagination. If you're an evangelist, crusades, or even if something that happened once, twice, or thrice, maybe it is pardonable. But this is your routine. Away from the flock, my mother's children have made me keeper of the vineyards. My own vineyard have I not kept. So I am black. There is no ministry calling called itinerant preaching. Itinerant ministry. It's not part of the fivefold ministry. In those days when we were growing up, we had people in ministry. Their greatest qualification or their greatest resume. I was in Jamaica this week. I was in Singapore last week. I was in Oklahoma. I went to Ethiopia. And the younger ones will be envying them. I'm feeling intimidated. Oh, so this man has gone everywhere. And it's just, my challenge is, if all those places he went, he organized the program like an outreach. On the base of his ministry, that's okay. That is his calling to do that. But where you made that, just everywhere. And I am aware that to be everywhere is to be nowhere. Nowhere.
Though some of those people are still alive today, no invitation anymore. And there is no work at home to come and meet.
Because when the birds continue to fly from place to place and it has no base, it will fly. The time it will come where it can fly no more, it will just drop from the sky. Many have dropped. For the first 26 years of ministry, Paul Yonggi-cho went nowhere. Didn't go nowhere as a pastor. 26 years.
By the time the church became established and he put structures in place and he felt the need to impact the world with what God had given him, church growth and all of that, he could travel for months, but the church was already running. He had set it in a way in which it was running on his own.
We are 28 years. This is 28 by November. I have preached on another altar that is not this church on a Sunday within 28 years, highest 5 times at the most. I remember 1, 2, 3. Yes, I remember Israel, I remember Ghana, I remember Robert Kayanja's church in Uganda. 1, 2, 3. I remember one time in America and then Venezuela where I couldn't catch my flight to return back to Abuja. I can't count more than that.
Because I knew that this is my primary base. I've been with Evangelist Jonathan twice. And I'm sure they'll be wondering, I will preach in Pittsburgh until Friday night, about 9 or 10, and then fly from there on Friday night. Friday night, 12 midnight, 1 a.m. in Pittsburgh is 7 a.m. of Saturday morning in Abuja. So I started the journey by 7 a.m. of Saturday from America to reach here about 7 p.m. of Saturday for Sunday service. Why do you pass through such stress? It should be easier to remain with them and finish the Sunday service or something else and then go ahead. But I am aware that I was straight from the altar to the airport. I'm aware that someone called me and placed me on appointment. You say he appointed 70 also. So I am on his appointment. I don't run the assignment on my own terms. And expect to be remunerated on his own terms.
Are you following what I'm saying? By the mercies of God, I don't need any guest invitation worldwide by his mercies. That is, the assignment here alone is occupying. Can anybody confirm that? It's engaging enough.
So the kind of thing that pull me out are places where I believe God wants me to go. And then there is impact that will affect cities or nations also. And then it's strategic and so forth.
Where you have multiple assignments like us, pastoring a church and then crusade ground, then you try to see the wisdom of God on how to handle all of that. So we go from nation to nation in crusades that we organize.
And then where there is solid, tangible relationship, where that is more like an extension of the ministry. If Untia invites me, normal, judge, and all of that. That is more like a continuation of the same impact.
Himself too. My father in the Lord, I can cancel any program for that one. Because of the impartation that brought me to where I am. But this focus is very, very important. You don't build a skyscraper on a shack foundation. You don't. This is important.
And among ourselves, why not?
Iron sharpeneth iron. You invite me to your altar. I invite you to my altar. But that Sunday morning where the majority of the people come to the church. Other days is scanty, but it is Sunday that people come the most, where they must witness your assignment. You are away. How many Sundays in a row? Somebody say amen. And for the evangelists, organize your programs, organize your meetings, go. Nobody should be depending on guest invitation and call it a ministry. That is, if people don't invite you, you don't have a ministry. That's miserable. If possible, what you left at home should be more massive than anything you met anywhere. If possible. One day, one of those places I went to minister on a Sunday, one of these places. They gave me an honorarium. And now, the ministration then wasn't deliberate, like I want to be away from the church on a Sunday. There was a reason for it. There was a reason for it. So, after they gave me an honorarium in foreign currency, in dollars, of course, when I came home, the day I came home, one man came and he said, God asked me to give you an offering. He's not a member of our church. Another church. He said, I have been with this offering for almost 6 months. I have been looking for you to give it, but I'm happy to come and give it to you. He brought that offering in the same denomination from that place, the same amount. It was to me a message. You sit on your walk and do it faithfully. Anything can meet you there on that walk. Anything. That is, you do not need to run around to make the rounds. You don't need to run around. So this is important. It is the battle on focusing on the primary assignment. Initially, it may look like good opportunities. It may look like, exposure here and there. But eventually, don't misunderstand me. It is possible to move, but don't move at the detriment of your primary assignment. Don't move at the expense. Look at what the Bible said here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 39 to verse 40. 1 Kings 20, 39 to 40. And as the king passed by, he cried unto the king and he said, thy servant went out into the midst of the battle. And behold, a man turned aside and brought a man to me and said, keep this man. If by any means he be missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver. And as thy servant was busy here and there, he was gone. Many people lost their assignment to business. What God gave you to keep got lost as you are busy here and there. As thy servant was busy here, and many ministries ended. Many great callings couldn't see the light of day. What God entrusted to the man, he was busy here and there. And one of the things I learned early is never to violate the principles that I know to be true out of respect for anybody. One big man in the class of fathers in the land. He asked me, can you come and be in our church for this Sunday and minister? I said, no, sir. I don't go out on Sundays. I can come any other day, not Sunday. I'm sure that was the first time he was saying such a thing. He It's a privilege to go to big altars. But Sunday, no, sir. Please, sir, any other day, but I have to be in church on Sunday morning. Really? Okay. Request was never made again. It was understood. If people know your principles, they won't tempt you for compromise. If they know the principles you stand for, they won't tempt you. It will reduce temptations onto violations. But many times we don't stand for anything, so we fall for everything. Let your assignment occupy you. Many times we are distracted because we are not sufficiently occupied. Let your assignment occupy you. And those of us that are music ministers, those that are not here, please talk to them. One church this Sunday, another church next Sunday, another church next Sunday, another church. In a whole year, you may have gone to 365 churches. How many Sundays in a year? 52. He is not actively being pastored by anybody. He may have a church that he calls his church, but he's not being pastored. Ministry like that is your ministry. It's possible to honor once in a while. But when it becomes permanent, and then when questionable altars, you stand in this one and then move to the next one and then move to the next one. There are people who have lost their mantle by standing on altars that are wrong. The altar took something from you. You heard Frank Edwards who testified the other day. But while they invited him to somewhere, people saw him on the handbill. They said, are you sure you want to go to this place? He said, but I've already given them my word. Who said so? It's your word, the word of God that cannot fail. He said, God is not a man that he should repent, which means man can repent. God is not a man that should change his word, which means man can change his word. I mean, you don't keep on driving when you know you are in the wrong lane. You do a U-turn. You can apologize. I'm so sorry. I'm unable to honor this invitation for very serious reason. Very serious reason. Your destiny is very serious. And he went. As he went, something dropped on him. Not just that, he almost died. He was so sick, it was his mother, S.U. mother, who prayed for him. Hallelujah. So that is the battle. Let's rush. There are other ones we need to fight. Number two is the battle of the confrontation of faith. Where your faith is being confronted with the capacity to take your focus off your assignment. The confrontation of faith. Your faith and confidence in God under confrontation. Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and in verse 12. Said, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight. It's a fight. Confrontation of faith. And I'm trusting God to deal with that brutally. You are meant to be preaching healing, but the devil is afflicting you with a torment in your body. You can't fast because of ulcer. You say, Lord, I am a pastor. I need to fast and pray. But I am, this thing is confronting me. Blood sugar is tormenting you. Hypertension is confronting your faith. Or the affliction of a child.
A man testified here the other day. He said his child was convulsing so much. They would have to call him. Every time the child went to school, they would send for the parents.
He said he was too ashamed to call himself a pastor. Pastor, your child is convulsing again. Or maybe a wayward child, and you are meant to be a pastor.
And the devil is looking at you in the face and he said, I think you call yourself a pastor. Why is this happening to you?
Or a very, very terrible confrontation. I told you the story the other time. Man of God had a wife that was literally running her own ministry inside the husband's ministry. Separate is very, very rebellious. When the man said anything, he said,
long story made short, she went and filed for divorce.
Everybody spoke, father in the Lord spoke, no way. She divorced. And then went and opened her church. Beside the husband's church. What kind of fight is this? What kind of confrontation is it? And 500 members followed her. Bad church members, bad ones. In a situation like this, either you follow the original vision or you find your way somewhere else. That church survived for only about 2 years and closed down. I spoke with a man. He said, you must have heard about my situation. I said, I heard. But about 3 or 4 people who told me before you said the matter was not your fault. So I am not going to deal with you with the eye of somebody whose home failed. That's a confrontation. A major distraction to ministry. What do you want to preach when you can't keep your home? That's what the devil will be telling you. But today, I announce to somebody, any area where there is a battle, hepatitis, whatever it is that the devil has put in your life, every time, oppression, physical, bodily oppression, that is fighting your focus on the assignment, I announce today, it is over. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. Lift your right and say, Father, I receive victory over every confrontation of my life, of my faith. I receive victory over physical ailment. I receive victory over family situations. I receive victory now.
Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. So shall it be in the name of Jesus.
Number 2 was the battle that involves what? Battle of the confrontation of faith. Number 3 is the battle of enemy distractions of the assignment. Enemy distractions of the assignment. Let's say the devil keeps on trying to raise ugly head with negative occurrences just to break the man's focus. You pray for this one to be healed, he refused to be healed. You pray for another one, he refused to be healed. And not just refusing to be healed, it ended terribly. Do you understand what I'm talking about? You want to step on the altar on Sunday morning, that is when the devil wants to bring you a bad news. The devil is a bad boy. And I am saying this because God put it in my heart. You are not called to bury people before their time. And that shall not be your assignment. And that shall not be your ministry. And no devil will give you that assignment. No devil will give anybody here that assignment. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. So the gate of hell is active against the growth of the church. Whenever you have a ministry and assignment that is impactful and important, it will tear up hell. Somebody say amen. Somebody say a louder amen. One pastor came to me crying. Our building reached the roofing level. We are almost trying to roof and the whole thing collapsed. He's crying. I said, was anybody hurt? He said, no. I said, so would you prefer if you died between you and the building, who should have crashed? Give the Lord a praise. Put the devil to shame. It just little things here. It just try to take your attention here. He just wants you to know that he's a devil that is still alive. I am a devil and I'm still existing. He just wants to make you feel like, yeah, I don't care what anointing you carry. I am a devil and I am still around. But I have two scriptures for somebody on the basis of this. Nahum chapter 1 verse 9. He said, what do you imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end of whatever you are passing through. An affliction shall not rise up the second time. I don't know how many times the affliction has arisen in your life and in your ministry. Affliction shall not rise up another time. Say amen like a believer. Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 14 to verse 15. When it is time to pray, I'm going to pray. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. 15. You made it boring by not bringing it directly. Start again from verse. Sing, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all the heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. Why? The Lord has taken away thy judgments. He has cast out thine enemy, the king of Israel. Even the Lord is in the midst of thee. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Hey! I don't know who has that word, but thou shalt not see evil. I wish somebody can run a little bit. A victory race, a victory jump or something. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Not see evil anymore. Evil with your family. Evil with the situations of your children. Evil with the situation of the church. Evil with the situation of the ministry. Thou shalt not see evil anymore. Give him a bigger clap and a louder shout of victory. Look at somebody, say congratulations. Affliction shall not rise up a second time. Say it, affliction shall not rise up. And then tell somebody, thou shall not see evil anymore. You shall not see evil anymore. You shall not see evil anymore. You shall not see evil anymore. Give him a bigger clap of hands to take your seat. There is a pastor from Benin who said he comes out in church in the day, comes to the church office and the church building, and there is fetish on the ground. All manner of sacrifices in front of the church, consistently, continuously sacrifice. So this confrontation of the assignment will come from evil and occultic altars, even false ministries, agents of the devil masquerading as priests, who feel threatened by your assignment. So they will come in confrontation. They will come in confrontation. They will come at times openly. They will come subterraneally. But who is he that can harm you if you be a follower of that which is good?
And if you don't know them, if you have not discerned them, they will be cool with you. But provided they know that you know them.
But who is he that can harm you? Nobody. Somebody say nobody.
Number four is the battle of disfocus from the wrong association. When your destiny is big, the devil will arrange wrong company to come across your life. Delilah entered the life of Samson. That was the abortion of his ministry. There are people that the devil will arrange some friends into your life. Extra nice they may become. I saw you at the minister's conference. Listen to me. I will not be surprised if there are agents of the devil. Now, in fact, that goes without saying. That I am. They want to befriend you and dislocate your vision. One man, doing well, a professional, he was an engineer, but a pastor also. Very well, submitted. One day, somebody said, "Who is your father in the Lord?" He mentioned my name. And the person said, "Between you and him, who is older?" As if it is village. That is a villa of age. The man said, "I am older than him." He said, "Yeah." So why are you submitting to somebody that is younger than you? Go and look for an older spiritual father. As if age is superior to grace. Or title is superior to mantle. No way. That was how the man disconnected himself. He went through the wilderness for about 7 years. Oh, no. Till now he hasn't recovered. He's the one who told him, me himself, and still disappeared. The seed that was sown into his mind, that seed, just he says, an incorruptible seed. That seed didn't leave. He disappeared. His life gone. There are pastors who were not emphasizing money before, until a friend entered their life. A friend. One pastor told another pastor, he said, "There are meetings that are powerful and there are meetings that are profitable." He said, "You should do meetings that are profitable, not just powerful." He said, "What do you mean? What is the difference?" He said, "A powerful meeting is where power came, people are saved, blind saw, deaf heard, people walk, that is powerful. Profitable meeting is measured by how much came out."
plenty raising of money. All manner. I say, give for this and that and do this and that. He said, that is, do more profitable meetings, because the powerful ones will not get anything done. Profitable.
Another one told another one. And that one got corrupted by that council.
He said, when you want to organize major meetings and conferences, organize it towards the end of the month or at the beginning of the new month, when people have collected their salary.
Both the counselor and the counselee, nothing. And people just deviate. And before you know it, I have a message to preach today, and it's going to impact your finances. It is important to raise money in ministry, because work must be done. But where your motive is money itself, not concern for the people and not for the impact of the ministry, that is merchandise. People just derailed from the path of assignment. I invited one guest minister here many years ago, and he said, should I raise money or should I? I said, no, you are not invited to raise money. We have enough honorarium for you when you are done going. Please, relationships should be by principles, not by convenience. That it is convenient for you to relate with somebody. No. It must be principle based. Principle. This church, nobody is under money pressure. During this construction, every people were coming and relaxing and smiling and enjoying their lives. What we are doing currently, you need to know the amount that it goes in multiple zeros. 9. Everybody is calm and relaxed. Going around the world on crusades, no reason of offering on any crusade ground. Because we actually came for the souls. And not for the money of the people who came for the crusade, to the crusade ground. After all, the Bible says the sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination before God. That is, I'm not looking for money from a sinner. Do you understand what I'm saying? And yet, there is no scarcity or shortage to get it done. In my experience, those who don't put people under money pressure, they have plenty of it, far more than those who are permanently pressurizing people. Because of the principles that really make things work. I don't know of other times, but he would take Shiloh sacrifice once a year. Face his life till another Shiloh. And then the last time he was raising the offering, he said, you know this faith theater that is being built, if you have any plan to give towards it, no need. You can give towards any other thing, because it has been fully paid for. ACs, chairs, everything inside is paid for. I happen to be privy to the cost of the roof, because it's the same roofing company. You don't want to know the amount. In millions of dollars. Roof alone. All fully paid for. See, in case you wanted to give towards this place, this one is paid for. You can channel it towards other things. Maybe rural church planting. Let us know how many of the churches you wanted. Do you understand? Those are people just coolly following covenant principles. Both personal and church. And things are happening. So be very, very careful. That's the construction there. Be very, very careful with association. Let association sharpen you. Don't
associate with any friend that will introduce you into something wrong. It's a new day.
Any association that is not enhancing you
is due for disconnection.
Anything that is not adding any value to you is due for disconnection.
So, the devil sends the wrong people into your life just to distract and derail your destiny. And finally, it is distractions from human actions. We saw that in the life of Elijah. In 2 Kings chapter 2 from verse 1. All the way to verse 12. While Elisha was pursuing Elijah, there were human beings who were talking mini, mini, mini into his ears. Trying to accuse his master to him. Do you know that God will take your master today? Are you aware? Did he tell you? We know he's such a wicked man. So I know it. Hold your peace. There are human actions. Some offense filled. The Bible says, woe unto the world, for offenses will come. Let me tell you a story. But woe unto him by whom the offenses come. It was better if a millstone is hanged on his neck. Many years ago, we had a minister's conference. And one of our pastors, after the minister's conference, came out in Area 1. This may be up to 10 years now. He says, sir, people are so bad. Can you imagine someone who just left the minister's conference that you preached to us so powerfully is talking against you just outside? Someone who sat and was writing notes and was saying amen just outside. Amen. He's talking. Who does he think he is? All manner. Now, two things I didn't do. I didn't ask him, who is he? And number two, what did he say? I didn't need it so as to guard my heart.
Because he may be somebody that is close. And if I heard that, that will totally disbalance my heart in terms of my reaction towards the person. So let me not know who it is. Let me not know what he said. So that I can continue to relate normal and let Jehovah judge.
Please, can I advise all of us? Do your neighbor the favor of not over-inform them of whatever an enemy or whoever is saying. Don't over-inform them. Senior pastors of ministry, advise the people who work with you. It's not all information they should tell you. These two people were saying this about pastor. This person was saying that. Most of them are not necessary. They are intended to break focus. Especially in this social media age, which is such an age of evil. And there are people that are demons that are whose assignment is there.
Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? I think it's Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verse 21.
Our people say, if eye does not see, neck will not draw. If eye does not see, neck will not draw. Because you said, look at that. Also, take no heed unto all words that are spoken. In case you hear your servant cursing you. Don't be inquiring, what did who say? He said, because the person that may talk against you, that may hurt you the most, is not an enemy. The one whose salary you are paying. The one whose children you sent to school. The one whose hospital bill you paid. Whose school fees, student school fees you are paying, may be the one who spoke against you the worst. He says, I am talking to you. The one living in your house may be conniving with demons outside. He says, so don't overpay attention. Stand up on your feet, people. Papa Yedepo said, he shielded himself from both applause and assault. You applaud me, I'm not aware. You assault me, I'm not aware. Very important. If the devil does not know how to stop you, he will step into human agents to get your attention. It's one of the ways. Slow this man down. He's too fast. Slow this woman down. They are too fast. We have not been able to reach him, to attack him spiritually, diabolically, because his heart is free. Do things to introduce bitterness so he can be assessed. In case you hear your servant curse you, your PA, your secretary, your driver, your chef, your laundry. In case you hear them, and you are likely to hear them. Because if Judas Iscariot, that was the most trusted, carried the bag, the money bag, you know the level of trust it takes to say, handle the money. If he could rise, say, don't take heed to everything. There are things they say, oh, I'm not interested. Did you hear? Oh, no, I'm not interested. Did you hear? Oh, no, I'm not interested. Church members, the devil will send some people to corrupt your mind against the altar that is blessing you and the mantle. One man who was in Winner's Chapel before, who left, came to me to tell me terrible things about my father in the Lord. I'm telling you. And he was such a person that was so close with him. I looked at him, I said, look at you. I know him, I don't know you. You know, there are people who will talk about some people to you until you are wondering, do I really know the man? Is this person correct? I hear what I'm saying here today. I discarded the man and followed the oil. I won't be here if that devil disconnected me. If that devil disconnected me, and that devil is nowhere to be found, that agent of the devil, if I may use that word, nowhere. And and somebody say, why are you calling the person devil? Jesus called Peter devil. He said, get behind me, Satan. When Satan begins to speak, when somebody becomes an agent of the devil, he also literally becomes that devil. When we came into ministry newly, somebody came talking to me about my wife. She was still working in the hospital. My wife, a woman. I looked at her and said, you devil. Where do I know you from? I know my wife. You, I don't know. That's right. I don't know you. To hell. People, Let's try and guard our heart. One day, Papa Yedepo said, he was driving around the Anapaja side. Yes, on his way. And they were showing, you know, these gossip newspapers that they used to sell, Evening News, those days on the road there. And they have one. He was the back cover page. He was on the back cover. The man was selling it. He said, buy newspaper. He said, I don't buy newspapers. That's what Papa said. Buy this one. He said, I don't buy. Then he brought another one that had his full page. He said, what of this one? It has your picture on it. And it is you they wrote about. He said, oh, no, I'm not buying it. There is nothing about me that I don't know. There's nothing about me that I need somebody to tell me. I don't need to read about me from somebody. I know me, so no need to. I think such people will lose their job if people become less interested in garbage and rubbish. Somebody say amen. Did you receive something today? Are you ready for strength? Are you ready to tear down the devil? Are you going to tell the devil, you can't distract me in any way? Lift your hands and lift your voice and begin to pray. Honor him, adore him, worship him. Give him the praise. Give him the honor. Give him the adoration. Give him the glory. Worship him. Honor him. Adore him. Magnify him. Lift your hands, lift your voice. Ah, shut up. In Jesus' precious name, lift the hands high and say, Father, I receive the grace for focus on my primary assignment. Now, many of us, we are tempted to lose that focus on our assignment because maybe it's not producing results on time. You are laboring and laboring, and it's not producing the result you think it should. Just focus it. And let God prove that he called you. Lift your hands and say, Father, I receive the grace for focus on my primary assignment, on my call in life and in ministry. I receive the grace for focus. I receive it now. Go on ahead, open your mouth and pray. In Jesus' name. Pray the second prayer and say, Father, I receive the grace to win every battle that is confronting my faith. Every affliction, every confrontation of my life, of my family, of my destiny, every confrontation, every health issue, any kind of issue around my life that is confronting my faith and distracting my focus. Today, I declare that battle be broken. Now, go ahead and pray. Rafa
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Lift your hands and shout at me, say, Father,
Father,
I receive
the grace
to overcome
every evil agenda
in my assignment.
Evil news,
bad report,
negative
incidences,
I overcome you
by the blood of the Lamb and
by the word
of my testimony.
I overcome you
now.
Go on ahead,
pray.
I overcome the devil
by the blood of the Lamb,
by the word of my testimony.
Receive victory in Jesus' precious name. Say after me, say, Father, disconnect me. In that regard, we can have 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Father, deliver me from every wrong association, past, present, future. Any wrong connection, any contract. You know, Delilah was a contract.
Contractor.
After she succeeded with Samson, they paid her the money.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know that. Delilah was a contractor. Samson was the project.
Aye.
The contractor made her money, and the project was executed. Father, every contract on my life, from the kingdom of darkness to destroy my destiny, I declare that contract will never see the light of day.
Every contract awarded to any Delilah, any Jezebel, any Absalom, any Judas Iscariot, any contract awarded on my head, on my destiny, with the wrong association to come into my life, I declare the contract is nullified.
Amen.
By the blood of Jesus. Open your mouth and pray. Jesus. I think we're in number 5 now. Say, Father,
deliver me
from distractions,
From human action.
From human action.
Negative human action.
Negative human action.
Bitter human action.
Bitter human action.
Jealous human action.
Jealous human action.
Envious human action.
Envious human action.
Irritating human action.
Irritating human action.
Designed.
Designed.
To impart bitterness.
To impart
and take my focus.
And take my focus.
Father, I receive victory.
Father, I receive victory.
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 Go ahead, open your mouth and pray. Receive victory. 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 Receive. In Jesus' precious name.
At this moment, you are going to ask, Lord, strength.
Amen.
For focus. Strength for quietness. Strength. And it's going to come by the impartation shortly. In the book of Acts chapter 3. Read from verse 5, 6 and 7. And he gave it unto them, expecting to receive something of them. You must expect to receive something now. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, not gradually, his feet and ankle bones received strength. That is strength from impartation.
Amen.
Impartation can happen by the release of words, by the laying on of hands, by the anointing with oil. The words shall be released and the oil shall be poured, because hand cannot be laid on everybody. But his feet and ankle bones received strength. His life, strength came on him. There are people who have been grounded in life and ministry. You are on the floor. God needs to give strength to your spiritual feet so you can come up and move again. Receive strength. And that is what we're going to do right now. You're going to lift your hands and ask the Lord, I am looking for the impartation of strength. Strength to maintain focus. Strength to create impact. Strength to be everything you want me to be. Lift your voice and speak to God personally for the next 1 minute. Le para
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.